Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
He was the infamous poster boy of the Celtic Tiger era, which was synonymous, and he was too, with glamour, excess, partying. But now, at the age of nearly 50, really, he's got his first so-called real job. These are his very own words. Gavin Lamb Murphy, welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very nearly 50, according to you.
Very nearly 50. Okay. Very nearly. I'm 50 in November.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
God, that makes...
But it's nice being 50, because everybody I know is turning 50 at the same time. So it's okay.
Do people turning 50 just think about being 50 for their entire 47, 48,
I think
49?
So. I've been thinking about it since I was 21. You know, no, I actually don't really care about age. I'm one of those people that I'm like, yeah, whatever, I'm lucky to be alive, you know, that way.
That's so. Kind of a surprise we would have thought from your glamour days of always being young forever and resistant.
I know, but I'm also a firm believer in living in the moment, you know, and you realize life does teach you to live in the moment. So there's nothing you can do about it either, you know. A lot of people I know are kind of going to the other side of it. They're getting their faces done and they're getting all that
That's
stuff
right,
done. I'm
yeah.
like, well, you're still going to be 50. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Just go with it, you know.
So this new steady job that you have is actually running a kind of a concept store. Is that what you're calling it as well?
Yeah. So it's called Bagatonia and it's on Upper Leeson Street. And it's kind of a long, but I'll make it short story. So my best friend, Noel McCarthy, who some of your listeners might know, is the brains behind Blow, the hair salon chain.
And she's a Cork woman, isn't she?
She's a Cork girl. Yeah. She is indeed.
Big business, amazing business mind.
There are good people come out of Cork, you know, yeah, smart people.
So but Blow Salons, yeah, and she's your friend.
She's one of my best friends for a very long time. And we were talking about doing a wine bar and I kind of thought, God, that's... Apart from the fact it's very difficult to set these things up, you know, we got with the regulations and the fire and safety and all that. So we kind of went around the houses with an architect planning it. And then eventually I woke up in the middle of the night going, what am I doing? I mean, it's a lovely idea to say, oh, we have a wine bar. But then you've got to actually be in a wine bar surrounded by crazy people at, you know, 11 o'clock at night trying to get them to go home. So we actually have a wine license. So we applied for the wine license for the store. And then what we did was we said, let's go out to lunch, as we do an awful lot. And we had lunch and we said, let's do something completely different, because the location, it's at the triangle where Ranelagh, Donnybrook and Ballsbridge meet.
Right.
There was nothing really there. So we decided to do the concept store idea. And a lot of people kind of go, what is a concept store? And I said, it can be whatever you want.
You just make it up.
Yeah, I just go like most things. I just make it up as you go along. But it was kind of a fun thing to research and to set up. And we're now 4 months in. We're going into just over 4 months.
It's that new.
Yeah, it's brand new, but it feels, because the building is so old, and you know those old buildings on Leeson Street, it feels like people walk in and they go, has this been here for like, no, we're brand new.
Go away, okay.
Yeah, that's fun. You should come and see us.
And I definitely will. It's an independent shop, essentially, isn't
independent
it?
Independent
like
shop.
Like a mini department.
I'm like a mini Mr. Selfridge, you know, so we do everything. When you walk into the store, there's beautiful cafe and deli, and then it kind of flows into, like, we kind of listen to our customers. They want good deli products, good pantry products, I suppose you'd call them. Then we flow into art, candles, perfumes, menswear, womenswear. It's kind of everything. People walk in to get a cappuccino and they go, what is this?
Yeah,
and they leave with, you know, a piece of art under their arm and a bottle of olive oil, you know.
Art did you say there were clothes?
We have clothes. We have beautiful men's, kempt men's shirts. We do it for the moment. That's what we have. And then we have really great womenswear because Noelle is quite stylish. And when she said to me she was doing this, she was going to go off. She didn't have the courage in herself. And I was like, just go and do it. Fly.
Now, there's a lot of work running this type of thing.
There's an awful lot of work.
Are you just the face of it? Or are you actually running the place?
I'm on the floor. I am
really?
On the floor and I love it. And as opposed to being on the floor, I used to be like actually on the floor years ago. Now I'm just on the shop floor. But it is fun. It's, you know, people come in and they kind of look at me and go, I know you.
Yeah.
And I was saying to John, your researcher, I kind of laugh at it, but at the beginning, because it was new for me too, I was saying to people, oh yeah, maybe we knew each other in Lily's or Reynard's. And now I just go, you know what? You don't know me. And I don't want to sound like a dick, but I mean, you probably just know me from the paper. And
you were intensely in the public eye for a short period, but a memorable time.
Was it? I can't remember any of it, but yeah, it was a fun time. It was a different Ireland, I think, you know.
But you've kept out of the limelight, really.
Yeah, I just kind of, you know, I think everybody, you do what you do, and I just decided it was just of that time. It was, as you said, a very short period of my life, and it was fun, but it's well documented that it didn't end that way. So I had to just not that I had to cut ties with it. I just kind of chose to do something different. And
you matured and grew up.
Matured. It's the 50, Oliver. It's the 50.
It's not even happened yet. And did you work before? I mean, you must have worked.
I've done lots of different bits and pieces. You know, I was always involved in the media with Social and Personal magazine and other magazines, both here and overseas. So, you know, it's, but again, just dipping in and out of stuff. You know, I've always been a bit flighty, and that's why people are kind of saying to me, when people come into the shop, they walk in and they go, say, on a Monday, and they kind of joke and they go, God, you're still here and it's Wednesday. I'm like, I know. Come back, see if I'm here Friday.
It's only 4 months.
Yeah, you never
know. But you're going to stick to it?
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually loving it. It's really good fun. And as I said, it's not, I'm not saying this because I'm on the radio, but meeting, I like meeting people. I've always liked meeting people and I genuinely like people. You know, I get a buzz out of meeting people. The people we have coming into Bagatonia are very, very cool. They're nice. We're very lucky that we have, I touched the wood, that we haven't had one awkward customer. All our customers are happy, jolly people, you know, and
that's kind of surprising in Dublin, isn't it?
Well, it's probably more people would say it's probably more surprising in Dublin 4, but I find them all very nice, you know. And they, a lot of people like to just come in and have a chat.
Yeah.
Which is, as somebody said to me yesterday, David McDermott, I don't know if you know him, the artist.
I know of him.
Yeah, he's kind of a character. He was in the store yesterday. He has an exhibition showing at Bagatonia and we sold it within 3 days, the full exhibition. It was our first ever exhibition for the store, yeah.
Paintings.
Yeah, beautiful paintings that came in from St Moritz and really, really good. But he said to me yesterday...
Who's buying all this art in Dublin 4? It must be...
I'll tell you after the break.
a lot of money.
A lot of money in Dublin 4, as we know. But David said to me yesterday, you're not just a shopkeeper... You're actually kind of a counsellor. You have to be ready because I said, God, some days I just want to have 10 minutes of my own, which you don't really get in retail.
Yeah.
And most of the people come in and they offload their problems or their happiness or this.
Do
and
they?
That. Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's like being the parish priest.
There's a text here that says, does your shop have a middle aisle?
It's only 4 months in. Give us till 5 months. We might have one. I don't know.
I'd see Gavilan Murphy selling drills and stepladders. But you never know.
Never know. There is a photograph of me holding a drill somewhere online. I've seen that as well.
Does it matter to you that people do remember that small snapshot of your life?
You know what? I was at dinner with a friend last night and I was telling them I was coming on here this morning and a number of people, including my friend at dinner last night, said, why do people care about you? And I said, I actually don't know. So I suppose it is a kind of an honour, so to speak, that people have, RTE have said, come on here today. And the media, like the other newspapers have contacted me and asked me to do interviews. It's 20 odd years ago. So, you know, I don't really know what, I didn't really do anything. So I don't know why I'm remembered. Maybe a lot of people probably remember me. I know there was a lot of negativity towards me because people pointed it out to me and said, you see what's online. I'm not a negative person, so it didn't really affect me. I'm kind of a happy person. So that time was fun. I mean, it was a fun time for Ireland. As like with most things, it was fun until it wasn't. And we went into the worst recession and all that. But yeah, it's nice to be, I suppose it is. It's weird to be remembered because I don't know why, but yeah.
You were kind of, you were at every high profile launch and there were many of them at the time, weren't there?
Crazy.
Parties,
yeah.
Models holding up strange objects in the street.
I know.
And I was even looking at pictures to see just like what was your brand at the time? And you know you're holding champagne in nearly every photograph.
Every photograph, I'm holding champagne.
It's weirdly a hotel bedroom for reasons.
There was always a lot of hotel bedrooms.
I think we don't understand that time, and we're hoping that you can now transport us.
Answers on a postcard, RTE Donnybrook 4.
what the hell was going on?
I don't know. I mean, the whole thing was so bizarre that you were doing. For an example, I met the photographer for the Sunday Times yesterday. I hadn't seen him for 20 years, and he used to follow me around every week to do what we were doing, and we were laughing saying, Ireland then, some weeks you'd have, we can pick any celebrity because everybody's in town. And then the next week we'd have zilch. And we go, what are we going to do? So get a good looking girl and stand beside her or lie in a bed in a hotel room. I don't know what we were trying, what it was meant to be. But like a lot of it was just, I don't know, you know, as you said, a lot of champagne holding.
Yeah, and the imagery didn't exactly seem like you wanted people to like you or endear yourself to the whole country.
It's very simple. If you see somebody who's going, oh, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, like most of the influencers do today, people kind of go, well, a lot of certain people go, oh, God, I can't stand that person. I don't actually have that. I look at people, there's so many people, you included, you're in the media, you're in the public eye. I don't really look at people and go, oh, I can't stand him, I can't stand her. But I suppose it was a very different era. We weren't as media, so like there was, it's now social media, everybody is everywhere, so everybody is...
It happened very quickly.
Happened very, very quickly.
Do you look at the influencers today and go, my God, I missed a trick there?
Because they are... I had great fun.
They're certainly more beloved, aren't they?
Well, they are.
For a time.
Yeah.
Compared to anyone who got a lot of profile in the Celtic.
Well, I think the difference is, I think anyone who got a lot of profile in general pre-social media was kind of selected to be profiled rather than, you know, it was a different thing. Whereas all these influencers are kind of going one after another to try and it's a business. So they're trying to become, it's monetized. So it's a different thing. But I mean, but being in the public eye, I think you just have to, not if I have thick skin, I think you just have to just get on with it. I mean, you know, people meet me, I was saying to John as well, the researcher, people sometimes meet me even to this day and they go, actually, you're quite nice. And I'm like, what the hell are they expecting me to be, you know? But I mean, it's like anything. If the media or somebody keeps saying a certain narrative of a certain person,
yeah,
that kind of sticks then, you know?
You did the book, Diary of an It Boy.
I did.
Was that your reckoning with the whole...
It was a weird thing. It was kind of... somebody at the Independent newspaper put a headline and said I was writing a tell-all shocker, which I would never do because I can't remember anything shockingly.
Was it a tell-nothing?
It was a kind of la-la-la-la. But I...
What did you cover? You cover the wild, you cover the cocaine.
It was it was a factional book based on a character who was pretty much me, and it was all that kind of going to parties and cocaine and kind of everything that went with that time, the excess of it. But it was kind of set in Dublin, London, Milan, where I kind of bounced around at that time. And it was, you know what it was? It was one of those things that somebody said to me, well, now it's in the paper, you're going to have to go and write a book. And I was like, oh, Jesus, I haven't even got a laptop. So I started writing it and I got so stuck into it. I was going to lunches with people to get tidbits of information. And then I'm going home now to write. It's very therapeutic to do. And I said to somebody else, even if you don't publish it, write stuff down. It's very good for you. You know, it's very good just to write it down on paper or on a screen. It's like going, reliving something and clearing it out of you. It was a kind of a clearance of...
Having the reckoning.
Yeah.
Were you treated for cocaine addiction?
I was, yeah.
And all clean now?
All clean. I haven't done cocaine since 2003. It's an awful long time ago. I mean, you know.
2003?
Yeah, it's a long time.
That's about 22 years
ago. Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, and thank you. But I mean, another thing somebody said to me about the whole rehab and this, you know, I never want to talk about this because I'm so bored of talking about it. But every time I'm interviewed, somebody asks me, you know, what's about the coke thing? So I'm sure people are going, there's your man on the radio, if people actually know who I am. There's your man on the radio banging on about his coke addiction again. I'm not. But as somebody said to me yesterday, on the flip side of that, you are a sign of hope that you can actually turn it around. You
Absolutely.
Can do things, you know. And I think the main thing is if you're in that situation, you genuinely need to realise that you need the help rather than just go along with it. Because so many people go through the process and come out the other side and go back to what they were doing, you know. And I'm not saying, oh, look at me, I'm so good. I had a very good family unit around me who really cared about me, and that was very important, you know.
I'd imagine.
Yeah.
22 years ago, we associated cocaine with kind of wealthy people, well-to-do. Now we know it is absolutely in every parish in Ireland.
Yeah.
It seems to be...
It's a wash. It's everywhere, apparently.
Do you see it because you...
I don't really mix in the circles anymore. You know, I'm kind of... I know I'm turning into an old man, but I actually am an old man. You know, my local is Donoghue's, the best pub in Dublin. I go to Donoghue's and I hang out there all the time.
You still drink?
Oh, yeah, of course. I never had a problem with drink.
Okay.
So, you know...
For a lot of people, obviously...
A lot of people would associate the two things together, not. But I was very lucky. Alcohol, to me, I don't really get to the point where I'm drunk and I need to keep drinking or anything like that, you know.
Okay.
But, and the good fellas in Donoghue's wouldn't allow me to anyway. But I kind of don't go out in those circles where you'd be at events and parties and stuff like that. And it's also not because of the drug situation. I just don't want to do it. It's not my life.
I'm not sure it exists much anymore anyway. Launches and
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure about that. But I mean, those kind of people, and there's also no nightclubs or anything to go to anymore. So, you know, I don't know.
Might be a good thing in many ways, but then young kids who don't,
well, they never
want to dance.
Well, they may want to dance, but then there's the side of it that is, you know, it's probably, I think, as I said to somebody else, the whole culture has changed. Like, my nephew is 16, and I spoke to him recently. We went to the Shelburne, had lunch, and I said to him, like, you know, are you going to have a glass of wine? And he was like, no. And I thought he meant because, you know, I'm young. And he said, no, because I don't drink. I only drink Evian water. And I was like, okay. But he said, none of my friends drink. So there is that new generation of people who are probably more interested in looking well on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, and they're not interested in looking wasted. Like, let's be clear, if there was a camera phone back when I was doing what I was doing,
oh God,
oh my God,
Since we're on the downside of the Celtic Tiger era, text says, I grew up as a teen, avidly thumbing through Life magazine and Sunday Independent when Gavin was in the papers. I love seeing the glamorous snaps in Shutterbug. That's what it was
called. Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Hearing about Gavin now, though, I can't but remember the beautiful and talented Katie French, gone before her time. Rest in peace, Katie. And that also reminds us of Tara Palmer, Tomkinson,
yeah,
and the people who didn't make it through the parties.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, that's a nice text. Thank you. A lot of people didn't make it through, you know, and that, and again, this has come up in conversations that people have said to me, oh, they didn't make it through. Well, it was their own fault. It's like, you can't look at life that way.
No.
People go into certain situations and things happen. The problem with all that lifestyle is it's just... It's a one-way road to nothing, basically, apart from misery. And, you know, luckily, as I said, I'm still here to tell my side.
As you said at the start, yeah, you don't mind turning 50 because...
Because I'm lucky to be turning 50, you know. Yep. But I also feel like Tara was... Although she was so... Before she even was involved with drug... I knew Tara a very long time. And before she even was involved with the drug side of things, she was always a wild character. She was a wild horse, you know. She was one of those girls that... She was always going to be a giddy one, and you know, but I think the coke really accelerated her personality and then extinguished it completely. You know, it wasn't a good scene for Tara.
It's a horrible drug.
Horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Do you see signs of it around the place? You see people, would you notice someone has been altered by it or is...
No. As I say, I don't move in those circles. It's not my world.
What did you do then in the meantime? Because you were out of the party a very long time. You say you've had a life since
I walked
then.
Out of that party and I never came back. I kind of moved away after I finished that. I moved to Italy for a bit of time. And then my partner, on off for the last 20 years, we're on at the moment, so okay. Like most good things, he's based in Monte Carlo. So we kind of lived, we lived down there and lived. We kind of bounced around a bit. And it was kind of one of those things that I was saying as well to somebody recently. When you move out of anywhere, you know, I've kind of spent a lot of time in London as well. But you pick up bits from everywhere you go. Of course you do. Even if you just travel around Ireland, you pick up different things. So it's kind of helped me with what I'm doing now with the store, because I've got different ideas of style, I've got different ideas of branding, I've got, you know...
From travelling.
Yeah, travelling is important, it's, you know...
What's happening in Monte Carlo these days, is it?
Oh, the same old, you know, everyone's got a new face and a new Bentley, it's just about it, you know. And then you go to lunch, some days when I'm down there, I go out to lunch and I'm sitting with, waiting for the other half to arrive or whatever. And that guy was, again, quite funny, two women arrived recently at a restaurant, sat at the table next to me. And I kind of sat there looking at them going, who's the mother and who's the daughter? Because... There is that fine line when you get the work done. You know, it's like, and my other half is a cosmetic surgeon.
Must be great people watching.
It's kind of fun. It is fun. But the other side of it is it gets very boring because you're watching the same, that level of wealth all the time is like watching, whatever, like another Ferrari, another... It's just the same thing, you know.
He does plastic surgery.
He is a full cosmetic surgeon.
What's hot in that world?
I have no idea. I could tell you, but I'd have to tell you offline or off air, I mean. But I mean, you know... It's just funny. I could say something I say to him, because a lot of his clients would be friends of ours. And I'd say, my God, will you stop doing that to her face? And he'd go, I can't, the darling. She wants it. She loves it. I'm like, stop. Her face is going to explode. But it's very, as you know, talking about addiction, cosmetic surgery is a serious addiction.
Oh, big.
Because it's, and it's also that
once
famous.
You start meddling.
It's a Picasso, you know. You have to keep putting bits back on Mr. Potato Head, you know. So, but you do see some sights down there, because obviously more money, more problems, more surgery. So it's...
He's Italian, I take it, from that impression.
He is, yeah, that's a very bad impression of him. Yes, he's Italian.
Do the Irish, we get along very well with the Italians.
The Irish get on very well with everyone. Irish people are great. Like, we are great.
With the French, do we?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm very diplomatic. I think Irish people kind of fit in everywhere. And the nicest thing about being Irish, and I actually love being Irish, the nicest thing about being Irish is that you're kind of well received everywhere you go. You know, yes, there's always that thing where people kind of say, in Spain, or something. Are you English? And she goes, no, I'm Irish. Oh, thank God, sit down. You know, it's that there is a funny thing about that. And people expect us to be a bit fun and a little bit jolly. So, and we are.
You don't get an adverse reaction going, oh God, I hate Ireland and Irish people.
Well, then I would just stand up and leave. I
mean, come across. that. Life, as you say, has moved on, and I believe you lost your mum lately.
It's my mother's. Would have been my mother's 82nd birthday today. How weird it was to come on RT. I haven't been on the radio in studio on the radio. I said to another one of your researchers, since Jerry Ryan. So it's a very long time. Okay. So when I got the call to come on, I was like, yeah, okay. And then it was only this week when I was looking at my diary and wondering what I was doing date wise. It was like, God, his mum's would have been 82. So yeah, sadly, I lost my mum on Easter Saturday. And
Just gone. Oh, I'm sorry to hear.
Thank you. She was fantastic. But, you know, it's been, I think Bagatonia has really helped me with this. The store has helped me because
I see
everyone's going, are you okay? They're coming in, are you okay? Are you okay? And be perfectly honest, I haven't really cried. I'm just kind of on that. I feel like I need to cry.
Yeah.
But everything, even watching the terrible news that we're watching coming around the world every night, nothing is shifting the tears. But then a lot of people have said, look, it'll just happen when it happens, you know.
That seems to be the experience.
Yeah, it's a weird experience. And I think anybody who's gone through grief on any level understands that. I don't really understand what's happening. So I'm just going to work and getting on with things and hoping that I'll feel a little bit better tomorrow. And, you know, my mum was fab. She was absolutely brilliant. She was an absolute superstar.
So. Is that where all the fabulousness came from?
All that fabulousness and all that big mops of blonde hair. My mum was very glamorous. She was super glamorous. She was a model in the 60s. She was quite a high profile model back
really?
In the day. Yeah. She worked in London as well as a model. And
she was Irish and worked in London?
Yeah, she worked as a model back and forth. Back in the day when modelling, as she said, back in the day when modelling meant something, darling. But she was good. Yeah, she was good fun. Like she was, let's be very clear, my mother wasn't standing on Grafton Street in a bikini holding an ice cream. Do you know what I mean? but she was larger than life, and she was fun, and she was the main thing I've learned, and I kind of knew it all along, but she was very, very kind, my mum, you know, very, very kind to everybody she met. And she kind of instilled that in myself and my brother as well, you know. And it's one thing that I think is much, I don't care about your money, I don't care, manners matter more to me than anything.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think manners are free, so get on with it, everybody.
Manners and style. Some stories I would imagine she'd have from that era.
Yeah, she used to give us some good fun stuff, you know. It's kind of obviously swinging 60s and all that, you know. But she looked at me when I was doing the thing in the whatever they called the swinging 90s, whatever it was then. And she go, oh my God, you think you've invented the wheel? I'm like, yeah. You know, every generation thinks they know what's going on. Whereas listen to the older ones. Now, I can say that now I'm 50. Listen to us old people. We know.
Tex is asking, does Gavin watch Motherland by any chance? His store puts me in mind of Amanda's store, which is called the Hooga Booga or something.
No, I've never heard of it. I must check it out.
Motherland either. I'm not into.
No, I don't know about that. No,
the text also finished with Notions, which is Stuart Amanda's stuff. Yeah. Okay. But you're openly saying Bagatonia has Notions.
We have huge Notions. But you know, because you launched and I was at the Bagatonia Festival
last
year.
Yes, I was just about to ask.
Yeah, and I went to it 2 weeks ago. The launch was on. I'm very disappointed I didn't see you there. But, you know, that's fair enough. But the whole Bagatonia neighbourhood. I don't like maybe your listeners are going, what the hell is Bagatonia? Because a lot of people come into the store, and because I've lived in Italy, they say, oh, is this an Italian thing? Okay. And we have an awful lot of Italian things in the store.
Proper explanation.
I said, this is real D4D2. So, but I watched the movie, I saw it on RTE, The Ghosts of Bagatonia, and I actually got really moved by it. You know, it was kind of like, wow, it's so beautiful. It's just gorgeous.
It was kind of a name that sums up the literary culture and
100%.
History.
100%. Right, and the way, in fairness to Alan Gilson, the movie was shot and it was just so beautiful. I actually I recorded it on player and I watched it again. And then I was kind of sitting there going, that name is just, I know, it's just so beautiful. It just conjures up images of, as you just said, literary geniuses and blah, blah, blah. So there's not so much Notions because, let's face it, you can't really have Notions if you're in the heart of Dublin 4. I mean, there's nowhere else to go. You're in Dublin 4. It is Notion mania. So, but the store is very, very calm and very, very, people say it's very, very chic, which I like to hear, but it's not a pretentious store. It's just a little store. You know, at one point, my business partner Noel said to me, we're going to do fresh fruit and veg. And I was like, she has gone bananas, but you know, literally bananas. Yeah. So we ended up selling fruit and veg, and we sold fruit and veg. People were, it was really like corner shop stuff, you know, but it's fun.
Of course, the nature of every shop is that there has to be a little bit of pretension, otherwise.
Well, just a slight.
It has to give you a slight feeling.
Well, you know, we have those kind of, you know, we have all those beautiful Labuzzi and Max Benjamin candles and all that kind of stuff, you know, and people deserve, people who like to buy things for themselves, why not? If you can buy it, buy it.
Listen, I wish you the best of luck in your first real
Thank
job.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And happy birthday in advance in November, which I'm sure that'll be a nice...
I might even invite you to my party. It'll be a small lunch.
Little low-key.
Yeah, in Dunhu's, a toasted sandwich. Yeah.
Gavin Lanmurphy, thanks a million.
Thank you so much,
and good luck. And we'll think of your mum as well today on the radio.
Bless you. Thank you so much.
Back after.